Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 10, Spirits of Deception. Ephesians 2, 1-3, ESV. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. 1 Peter 5:8 WEB. Be sober and self-controlled. Be watchful. Your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. End of verse. The existence of the devil and evil spirits is discussed in Foundations for Eternal Life, in Chapter 12, Your Adversary the Devil. We will now focus on how deception is used by the devil and evil spirits to accomplish their purposes. A new section titled, A United Kingdom. The devil and evil spirits basically operate in similar ways. They are part of a united spiritual realm that opposes the kingdom of God. The devil is widely understood to be the leader of evil spirits. This understanding is supported by these verses. Matthew 12:22-28 WEB. Then one possessed by a demon, blind and mute, was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. All the multitudes were amazed and said, Can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This man does not cast out demons except by Beelzebul, the prince of the demons. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. End of verses. The devil and other evil spirits are not divided. They function with a clear united purpose, to oppose Christ and all who are his. This may be why Scripture often seems to attribute demonic activity to the devil himself, since all evil spirits are basically his agents of evil in this world. A new section titled, The Devil Deceives. Scripture doesn't often reveal how the devil and evil spirits are involved in people's lives. However, there are several references that clearly associate the devil with deception and lies. Deception appears to be a primary tool that the devil uses to oppose God's people and promote his own purposes. Consider these verses. Genesis 3:13 WEB. Yahweh God said to the woman, What have you done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. 2 Corinthians 11:3 WEB. But I am afraid that somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. John 8:43-45 ESV. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Revelation 12:9 WEB. The great dragon was thrown down, the old serpent, he who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Revelation 20:2-3 ESV. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that he must be released for a little while. Revelation 20:10 WEB. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are also. End of verse. A new section titled, The Devil's Purpose in Deception. The devil uses deception to cause people to believe various lies, to lead people away from God, to lead people into sin and increasing bondage to sin. We see several examples of this in Scripture. Bullet point, Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis 3. The serpent is widely understood to be the devil. His deception leads them to not trust what God said, which led to the first human sin. This resulted in spiritual death, expulsion from the garden, separation from God, and eventual physical death. Bullet point, David counting Israel in 1 Chronicles 21. Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. That's 1 Chronicles 21:1 WEB. We aren't told any details of how the devil accomplished this deception. However, its effect was that David believed the lie that it was good to count the people, even with Joab's strong advice against doing so, in 1 Chronicles 21:3. David was led away from trusting God and into sin. 70,000 people died from the plague that resulted. See 1 Chronicles 21:14. Bullet point, Job, in Job 1 and 2. Job was blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, per Job 1:8 NIV. God normally did not allow the devil to harass Job, per Job 1:10. This all bothered the devil. He wanted to destroy Job's prosperity, lead him into sin, and ruin his relationship with God. So the devil said to God, "But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face," in Job 1:11 NIV. By afflicting Job, the devil intended to get Job to believe a lie, that God is not good or that God does not care about him, lead him away from God, and lead him into sin. Bullet point, Jesus' temptation in Matthew 4, 1-11 and Luke 4, 1-13. The devil tried three different deceptions to try to get Jesus to turn away from God and toward sin. The three deceptions the devil tried fall into these basic categories. Choose present comfort rather than godly trials. Choose immediate power and glory rather than following God and future power and glory. Show how great you are. We each face similar temptations. Jesus used Scripture to successfully resist these temptations and stay true to his calling. Bullet point, Judas' betrayal. Judas was led by the devil to betray Jesus. Apparently, Judas had a problem with greed, since he was a thief and having the money box used to steal what was put into it, per John 12:6 WEB. The devil apparently used Judas' greed to deceive him into betraying Jesus in exchange for money. Luke indicates Satan had entered into him ahead of the plan to betray Jesus in Luke 22:1-6. John also indicates the devil's involvement prompting the betrayal in John 13:2. On the night Jesus was betrayed, the devil entered into Judas again, per John 13:27. It was only after the betrayal that the reality of the deception set in, and Judas tried to undo the betrayal, but it was too late. He ended up hanging himself, per Matthew 27, 3-5. End of bullet points. God's purpose in our lives is opposite to the devil's purpose. To help people know truth, to lead people to himself, to free people from bondage to sin. Jesus summarized the differences this way in John 10:10 WEB. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. End of verse. A new section, Evil Spirits. Before reading this section, please stop for a moment and ask God for the ability to read and understand it well. Ask him to show you whether or not you have been deceived regarding the influence of evil spirits in your own life. Affirm to God that you want to be free from their influence and deception, and affirm again that you choose to follow him in all areas of your life. Evil spirits, also called demons or unclean spirits, are spirits who are in rebellion against God, who look to the devil as their leader. While Scripture is clear on the existence of evil spirits, it does not say much about their origins or how they operate. Much of the knowledge we have about them is based on believers' experience with them. However, there is a problem with that. It is easy to underestimate their power of deception. Consider the great advantage they have. Apparently, they can readily see into our world, but we cannot readily see into their world, and we cannot normally see them. They have thousands of years of experience deceiving people. We have but a few years of experience in spiritual matters. Many believers are hardly even aware of their existence, presuming that if they don't manifest themselves in the same way they did in Jesus' day, then they must not be a problem for us. Let's consider briefly how people may be deceived and influenced by evil spirits. It is not my intent here to give a thorough review of this subject, but rather just to raise some issues to be aware of. In response to those who think that believers cannot be influenced by evil spirits at all, consider with me what a first level of deception may involve. If you accept that evil spirits exist, and that they may dwell in people, at least in some unbelievers, and that evil spirits can influence at least some people to do evil and promote evil, and if you accept that we are all influenced to varying degrees by other people, then it follows that we can all be influenced indirectly by evil spirits as they influence other people. Here are some ways I believe evil spirits indirectly influence believers today. Bullet point: sexually immoral people, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may seduce believers into sexual immorality. Bullet point: screenwriters and authors, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may promote sexual immorality in their works. Believers who see or hear their work may be tempted toward sexual immorality. Bullet point: advertisers, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may promote materialism and greed to believers to sell more of their product. Bullet point: teachers and college professors, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may treat faith in God as stupid and archaic, thereby weakening the faith of believers. Bullet point: journalists, reporters, and editors, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may report news in such a way as to distort the truth, causing believers to be deceived about various matters. Or they may choose to not report on various stories or aspects of stories that don't support their own bias. Again, the result is that believers may be deceived or remain ignorant about various matters. Bullet point: operators of social media, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may censor various viewpoints, thereby promoting unrighteous viewpoints to believers and hindering believers from freely communicating about alternative viewpoints. Bullet point: friends and acquaintances, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may encourage believers to do worldly things with them. Bullet point: unbelievers, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may physically persecute believers, even to the point of torture and death, as has been widely documented throughout history, including Revelation 2:10. Bullet point: false teachers, who may be influenced by evil spirits, may deceive believers into believing false doctrines, and believers then teach false doctrines to other believers. End of bullet points. Let's be clear here. While each of the types of people listed above may be influenced by evil spirits to do evil or promote evil, those types of people may do similar evil or promote similar evil just based on their own fallen sinful natures, apart from direct influence by evil spirits. I think most believers aren't usually able to discern to what degree an unsaved person is influenced by evil spirits. Scripture is clear that many evil spirits prefer to dwell within people or animals, see Matthew 8:28-32, rather than simply existing outside of people. Consider Matthew 12:43-45 and Luke 11:24-26. The degree to which evil spirits may directly influence people while existing external to a person is not clear in Scripture. Most of the accounts of evil spirits in the New Testament involve evil spirits living within people and usually being forced to leave by Jesus or his followers. Scripture and experience show that people afflicted by evil spirits may have a wide range of symptoms. Many believers make a distinction between a person being demonized or being demon-possessed. Being possessed by a demon is understood to be more serious than being demonized, though Scripture does not clearly discuss this difference. Being demonized is often said to involve such things as hearing voices in one's mind and various forms of emotional agitation. Nightmares also may be associated with the influence of evil spirits. I have experienced nightmares myself, which I believe were the result of influence by evil spirits. On the other hand, demon possession is often understood to involve a demon directly controlling a person's speech and actions. After an episode of being possessed, the person who was demon-possessed may be totally unaware of what happened while he or she was in the possessed state. It has been said that some demons are able to imitate a person's own voice and manners well enough that other people may not be aware of the transition to being in a possessed state. The confusion and damage resulting from this level of demonic influence can be great indeed. Experience also shows that evil spirits are masters at making things appear to be different than they really are. For example, a believer may confront a demon within a person with apparent success in casting it out. However, the departure may have only been a deception, leading to confusion and discouragement when the demon then remanifests itself at a later date, claiming to have returned, when in fact it may have never left. Note the difficulty the disciples had in driving out demons in Matthew 17:14-20 and Mark 9:14-29. There is no end to the deceptive games they can play this way when root spiritual issues are not dealt with. Here are some other examples of how evil spirits are effective in making things appear different than they really are. Bullet point: they deceive people into thinking they don't exist or don't have any influence over them. Western secular viewpoints, and many Western religious viewpoints, have largely dismissed evil spirits as mere folklore. This leads many people to not even consider that some of their problems may be related to the influence of evil spirits. Bullet point: they deceive people into thinking that they are gods that should be served and worshipped. Many animist and Eastern religions appear to be following evil spirits rather than the one true God, as Paul wrote in Corinthians 10:20 WEB. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I don't desire that you would have fellowship with demons. End of verse. Bullet point: they deceive people into thinking that some evil spirits are good and some are bad. For protection from bad evil spirits, many people trust and follow so-called good evil spirits. Evil spirits pretending to be good is just a hoax used to keep naive people in bondage to them. Remember, even Satan masquerades as an angel of light, per 2 Corinthians 11:14, W.E.B. Bullet point: they deceive people into thinking they have more power than they actually have. Most of the power they have over people has to do with controlling people through deception and fear. People are naturally afraid of spiritual forces they can't see and don't understand. Evil spirits thrive on fear and ignorance. Followers of Jesus should not be afraid of them. End of bullet points. Resolving the spiritual issues that allowed a demon to have influence in the first place is often key to a person gaining freedom from demonic influence. Often, unforgiveness and anger are contributing factors to demonic influence, per Matthew 18:21-35 and Ephesians 4:26-27. Helping people resolve those kinds of issues can bring freedom without an overt deliverance being necessary. Vocally renouncing any prior participation in occult-type activities or sexual sin may also be helpful, whether as a willing or unwilling participant. James indicates that submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil is an effective strategy against the devil. James 4:7-8 ESV. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. End of verses. Likewise, lesser evil spirits may be overcome the same way. Vocally declaring things like, I submit myself to God, I resist the devil, and I choose the will of God, I refuse the will of Satan, may be helpful, but only if those statements reflect the true intent of the person seeking freedom. Repenting of specific sins and submitting ourselves to God in those specific areas is usually more effective than general statements. However, sometimes a person may not know the specific sins associated with demonic influence, and general statements may be a helpful way to begin in those cases. Ask God for discernment regarding what the root issues are, and deal with those root issues as they become apparent. In getting rid of demonic influence, some people think it is only necessary to resist the devil without fully submitting themselves to God. That is, I believe, one of the devil's most effective deceptions. How do we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil? Knowing, understanding, and living by truth is an important aspect of doing that. That's what this book is about. In chapter 14, deception goes both ways. We'll look at the importance of finding the correct middle ground regarding many difficult issues. Discerning to what degree, if any, a person's emotional, psychological, or physical problems may be related to demonic influence is an especially difficult area. However, most of the above recommendations regarding how to be set free from demonic influence are good things to do whether or not a person is influenced by evil spirits. Submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil, repenting of sin, choosing God's will, and turning from anger and unforgiveness are all important things for all of us to do to grow spiritually, don't let uncertainty about the source of your problems keep you from doing those things. I'll repeat that main point. Don't let uncertainty about the source of your problems keep you from doing those things. I'm not claiming to know precisely where the middle ground truth lies on this subject of evil spirits. However, I am certain it does not lie at either extreme viewpoint, demons don't exist, or demons are everywhere. Evil spirits are real, as indicated in many places in Scripture. They can impact us in ways we may be unaware of. However, there's not a demon behind every aspect of life. As we abide in Christ, we can rest in the truth of Paul's words in Romans 8:38-39 NIV. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. End of verses. For further reflection, how have you experienced opposition from the devil or evil spirits in your own life?